welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Our scripture for this morning will come from Mark chapter 1. And I'll begin reading in the NIV at verse 1. Here's the word of the Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word on today. We thank you that you've sent a message for this day to these, your people. Now hide me, O God, so that your people would hear only your voice and see you. We pray that you would get the glory out of this time. Help us through the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic for today is what to do with good news. What to do with good news. Good morning, friends. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. May I ask, what is your name? I'm sorry. It's a pleasure to meet you. My name is John. Some call me John the Baptist. Others call me John the Baptizer, but you can just call me John. And I know what you're thinking. John, we've read about you, and my, how you look beautiful in that white robe today. Thank you very much. But I need you to know I've not always worn a white robe. I've not always looked so pristine. I've not always had on my Mac and my 2 inches, but the story of my life started quite differently. You see, I'm a PK, at least that's what I hear they call it these days, a PK. A preacher's kid for some, but I was a priest's kid. Isn't that special? And the story of my life, if you want to read all about me, you can look in Luke's gospel beginning in the first chapter. It says things like, my mother Elizabeth was of the line of Aaron. It talks about my beginnings, my rocky beginnings. It talks about my family and how I almost didn't make it here. You see, my father Zechariah was quite old. He was a senior saint. And my mother was no spring chicken herself. Now, I won't disclose her age because I know better than to do that. But they were great parents, Mom and Dad. Dad was a faithful priest on behalf of the people, offering sacrifices of incense and sacrifices so that God would be pleased by the people. He was a faithful servant of the Lord, and people knew about him and his ministry. And my mom, she was also a great woman in her own way, supporting the ministry that God sent to both of them. They were great parents, but they could not have a child for so many years. And so while they watched friends and families increase in size and in number. And even as they saw some younger relatives, even Cousin Mary, have a baby, my mother could not. You see, in our culture, it was pretty important for the woman to have a child, especially a boy child. And so people could not understand just why our mother would not have a baby. Why would God allow her womb to be closed? It was a blessing to continue the line of Abraham's seed. And so you can only imagine the looks and the sneers and the snickers behind their backs of people in the synagogue or maybe the church who could not put it together just why this priest's family would not be blessed with a baby. I'm sure people don't do that here in your time today, but back then in my day, they would often gather and try to figure out together why this family wasn't blessed in the way that they thought that they should be blessed. And then one day, the story goes, an angel appeared. The angel Gabriel, in fact, appeared first to my dad and then to mom. And that was a whole story in and of itself. Dad was not so sure that this messenger from God was saying just what God said that God was saying. And so he pushed back a little bit. And as a result, the angel closed his mouth and he couldn't speak for the whole 9 months. I'm sure he was very sad about that. You know, being a priest and all, you want to be able to have your voice. But the angel closed his mouth and he couldn't speak. And then Gabriel went to my mom and she was a little nervous about why an angel would come, but she received the word, the good news, that I was coming. And guess what? I made it here. And that was good news, church. There was a baby on the way, and I was delivered healthy, which was a feat in and of itself in that time. It was good news, not just for my family, but for a community who had been praying with them and waiting and anticipating to see what God would do. Even in old age, a baby. And so that was good news. And there's just something about good news, church. I'm here to just share with you today. There's something about good news that not only hearing it and experiencing it, but even sharing it. Do you share good news? Do you share glad tidings? Do you share the good report? Do you share when God gives you an outlook that you did not anticipate? My very birth was a testimony, was a witness to God's faithfulness. And I'm just here to let you know today that we need good news. We need good news, friends. Now, I grew up in the first century, and from what I'm hearing about what's going on here in 2017, it wasn't a whole lot different. Back then, I lived in a world, a violent world, where governments oppressed the people, especially the poor people, and rulers just put their foot on the necks of those who were the least and the lost. And unfortunately, I saw the news here last night, and it sounded like much had not changed. Back in my day, we lived in a world full of violence, and I read something about your government and this idea of MAD. It's a mad world. MAD. It stands for mutually assured destruction. That means whatever weapons you have, I'm going to make sure that my weapons are equally as devastating, so that we can assure that we'll both be destroyed. That's a mad world. And in the midst of living in the first century mad world or a 21st century mad world, the truth is that we need good news. Back when I was growing up, I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm a little ashamed to say, but there were separate groups in the synagogues, the holy places where people would gather together to hear the word of God. You've probably read this. There were Pharisees and Sadducees, but all these little groups who were separate and arguing among themselves about what to do and how to do it, and even more tragic than that is that they often oppressed those who were not as educated, even in the synagogue, even those who they wouldn't allow into the church, excuse me, the synagogue. And I'm hoping that, you know, religious leaders today are different, that they're not taking advantage of the poor, that they're not, using their authority in a way to oppress others. I'm hoping that it's different, but if it's not different, and if religious leaders are still taking advantage of those and turning into yes men and puppets for the powerful, I hope that's not the case. But if they're still on the backs of the faithful, of the poor, then if that's the case, then as much as we did then, as much as you do now, we need good news. And so one of the things that my mother, Elizabeth, taught me growing up is that there's something powerful that happens when we share good news. And that's the first thing that we ought to learn how to do with good news is just share good news. If you get it, just share it. And I'm not naive. I'm in glory now with my beautiful white robe on, and I my end was not as lovely as my beginning. I was a martyr for the cause, so I know enough to know that not everybody wants to hear good news. I'm not naive, but the truth of the matter is that there's a possibility that there may be somebody even sitting next to you today who just needs to hear your good news. Is it possible that you came here today, friends, that the Lord sent you here and sat you next to somebody who needs to hear your story? Is it possible that we not be concerned about who doesn't want to hear our good news, but know that the same hurt and disappointment that you experienced, that someone could benefit from your witness and your testimony, Elizabeth? Someone needs to know your story, Zachariah. So share the good news. Don't keep it to yourself. Here's what you can say. Hey, guess what? Neighbor, don't push your neighbor if you don't know him, but if you know your neighbor. Hey, guess what? I want to share some good news with you. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But guess what? The master of the sea heard my despairing cry. And from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. I just wanted to tell you some good, maybe on the other side. Hey, guess what, neighbor? He changed my mind, and that's a big deal because the thoughts that I used to think you wouldn't even want to hear today, but I just wanted you to know he changed my mind. Hey, neighbor, I mean, don't talk, don't turn around and talk because we don't do that in the synagogue and church. But guess what, neighbor? He took that out of my mouth, and I don't have a taste for it anymore. I just wanted to give you some good news, and when I still want it, he helps me to say no. Just be honest about your good news. Guess what, neighbor? I woke up this morning, and I knew who I was. I mean, that's just good news for somebody because I got up, and I was in my right mind, they said, and I could see my fingers in front of my face, and guess what, neighbor? I didn't think I was going to make it through this year, this 2017. This was a hard one for me, but guess what? I made it through, and I just wanted to let you know that I don't know what you're going through, and I'm still here, and because God's been keeping me, I got a sneaky suspicion he's can keep you too. Guess what, neighbor? I went through the fire, but you see this white robe? I didn't get burned, and guess what? Not only did I not get burned, but I don't smell like smoke, and I don't look like what I went through. Guess what, neighbor? Here's some good news. Good news, extra, extra. Read all about it. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. Go ahead, tell your neighbor you got some good news. He may not come when you want him, neighbor, but I promise you he'll be right on time. Go ahead, tell your story, testify. Just share the good news. Just share the good news. Sharing good news is so important. It's important now, and it was important then. But there's more that we have to do when we get good news. We were just reading this first and this earliest gospel record, Mark, which was the first to be recorded. And in it, we read that a reminder of the words of the prophet Isaiah, who wrote so long ago that someone would be sent. The prophet, long, long time ago, even way before I was born, before my ancestors were born, he wrote that someone would be sent. Somebody say, be sent. Be sent. So that's the next thing you gotta do with good news. You gotta be sent. Point to yourself and say, I gotta be sent. Yeah, you got to be sent to prepare the way. And as scripture said, to carve out the path. That's some work, though. You got carving out the path for the Savior to come, for the good news to come to someone else. You got to be sent. Now, here's the fun part. You got to be sent even into the wilderness. No, everybody. I got to be sent even into the wilderness. Yeah, guess what? God sent me into the wilderness. Can you be sent into the wilderness on behalf of the good news that's to come? What's the wilderness? The wilderness is solitary. Eremos, wilderness. It's a lonely place. It's a desolate place. Uninhabited. That means it may not be anybody but you. But you and God, that is. Into the wilderness, a deserted place. That means other people went there and they said, no thanks, I'm out. A deserted place, a lonely place, an uncultivated place. That means you got to pull some weeds all by yourself. You've got to do some digging. You've got to turn over the soil in a deserted place. And it's a place that's been deprived of the aid and protection of others, especially your friends and family. Can you be sent like I was into the wilderness? That's what you got to do with good news. You got to be able to be sent into the wilderness because that's the place where the word is coming. But not only can you be sent and should you be sent and must you be sent, but here's the tricky part. Would you recognize others who have been sent even if they don't look like you think that they should look? Now, I thanked you early on for your compliments about me and my white robe today. I really do. I appreciate it. But if you read my story, you know that I hadn't always been in a white robe, and my time in the wilderness wasn't so pretty. You read the scripture. Mostly, I looked just like, now this is me being sent into the wilderness to prepare the way for the word, and you said that you were willing to be sent into the wilderness. But in that season, mostly I look like the men that we walk over on the sidewalk. You know, believer, the ones who stand outside the Wawa when you're rushing on your way to work and you got to just stop and get your coffee, especially when it's a dollar. You remember that brother who was standing outside on the door? That's mostly what I look like when God sent me into the wilderness. And I look like the sisters who, you know, haven't had a place to wash their hair, wash up for a while. That's what I look like. You know, the one that we celebrate, John the Baptizer. And you might have thought if you saw me back then, not like you see me now, that I was some lazy, unmotivated person, no good homeless person, like the ones who sit outside the temple, but we won't let them in because they smell so bad. You know, those people. Maybe that's what you would have seen me as. But I couldn't understand why the people down at the synagogue were so confused about my appearance, because scripture said, and they were good church people, so they knew scripture and they knew the prophecies, and it said that one would be sent into the wilderness. I mean, what did they think that I would look like if I'm living in the wilderness? And I could hear them talking, oh, he had so much potential. How could he look like that? Now, he came from a good family. His father was the priest, and he was raised in the church. How is it now that he could look so far off? How is it that Elizabeth's baby boy, who they prayed for so long, could now live in the wilderness, unshaven and not properly dressed and covered in animal skin and hair? How is it that this boy could have now fur wrapped around, just holding his clothes together? You've seen me before, and not the kind of leather belt that you get from Wilson's, but the one where I had to slaughter the animal and strip it and clean it myself just to hold myself together. And I wasn't eating at Chart House. I wasn't down at the Mooshaloo, but I had to eat, you know, what was available there, not drinking the proper wine, the proper communion wine. I didn't have access to that, but I had insects and wild honey, not wild turkey. I had insects and wild honey, and that's all that was available to me. But why would anybody choose to live in the wilderness when all they have to do is just get it together? just go get a job. And good temple people didn't understand why I stayed there. But I chose this uncomfortable life because it fulfilled the prophecy, and it was the assignment that God had given to me. Will you be sent into the wilderness, and will you recognize those who are sent even if they don't look or sound or smell like you think they ought to? Maybe our brother outside the Wawa has good news. Maybe our sister down at the shelter has a word for you to encourage you. Could it be that they were sent into the wilderness of their lives to prepare the way for good news for you, to lift you up? Okay, so you got to share the good news, and you've got to allow the Lord to send you even into the wilderness. But the verses that we just read also let us know today that when there's good news somewhere, we ought to run to it. Not run away from it, but run to it. I was out there all by myself in the wilderness, and God said, preach, and I just did that. And verse 5 says, and people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to me and were baptized by me in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. If you hear about good news somewhere, church, embrace it, press into it, run into it. Even when you've been used to hearing nothing but bad news and you don't believe that there could be something good to hear, when you hear that there's good news, run where you've got to run, even if it's into a place you've never been before, even if it looks like a desolate, lonely place, run into God's good news. One more thing I just want to tell you before I move on to my next group of friends about what to do with good news. This is important, and I had to learn this early on because God sent me with a specific assignment. So when you hear good news, here's what you got to do with it. If you're going to share it, and you already promised that you would, please, I beg you, get the message straight. So we didn't have telephones back when I was growing up, but I hear there's something called the telephone game. And you may have heard about the telephone game. One person starts a message, and then you pass it to the next person, and then you pass it to the next person, that same message. And what happens is by the time the message gets around the house, by the time it gets downstairs, by the time it gets down the block, by the time that message gets around the community or around the church, the message is different. And that's just because we're humans and it can change and we can add our own flavor on it. But it's really important when there's good news that comes from glory that when you share it, that you get the message straight. Here's the message that God gave me in verses 7 and 8. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I, pronouns are important, am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do that one more time. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now we knew that there was a child to be born, and I had to get the message clear because I needed people to know that I was not that child. The prophet Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That wasn't me. I consider this to be a holy assignment, being sent to the wilderness to share the good news, but just as it was given. And all those people who ran out to the wilderness to hear the good news, they didn't come to hear the message about me. They came to hear a message of repentance and of salvation. Now, I had to be honest because I started to enjoy when people were coming out to see, because remember, I was in a lonely place. I was in a desolate place, and I had been there preaching for time and no one was coming. So when they started to come, I got excited. It's very easy for us to suck all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise when we've got good news, because after a while we start to think, well, yeah, I got the good news. I must be responsible for the good news. The preaching was powerful, but it wasn't because of who I was in the wilderness. I was rusty and I was dusty. You understand, friends, when God blesses you at work or maybe on the block, maybe you start to share a little bit about the joy that you have and the peace, or about what you're getting your kids for Christmas. This is good news. You might start to share about how you've been used to feed the poor. That's amazing. Maybe even God is sending you to visit the sick among you. That's awesome. Maybe God has blessed you to be an intercessor, and people call you when they want to get a prayer through because they know that you've got a main line to the Father. That's wonderful. But you are being used as the mouthpiece for truth. The good news is coming through you. The love is coming through you. The hands that are laid to heal the sick are coming through you. So when you share the good news about what God has done, please just get the message straight. And I had to get my message clear. There is one, scripture says, only one who is more powerful than all of us. He's more powerful than you. He's more powerful than you. He's more powerful than you. He's more powerful than me. And scripture said that I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. And we may be a blessing to each other, and we certainly are. We have good news to share. We may even bless you and dunk you in the pool, baptize you with water that's been lovingly prepared just for you to give a public demonstration. We may even preach the roof down. We may be awesome, amazing teachers of the unadulterated word of God, hiding it in our hearts. But the good news is that there's only one. There's only one who can bring the fire of the Holy Ghost. There's only one who can call you into the wilderness to share the good news. There's only one who will send the lost and the least out to where you are to hear the good news. You don't have to be concerned about where you are. Remain in the wilderness. God will send them to you. Be faithful. There's only one, and that is the soon coming King, and that, church, is good news. May the Lord bless you real good. It was a pleasure to see you, and I hope to see you one day in glory. To God be the glory. Would you please stand as we pray? Lord God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the presence, the ever presence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, that there's good news all up and through your word. And we don't have to wait to Calvary to see the good news, oh God, but even your birth was good news. In this Advent season, as we prepare our hearts to see your birth, please help us to ready ourselves for the soon coming King. Now, Lord God, we pray that you would hide this word deep in our hearts so that we would not sin against you. Thank you for the encouragement through scripture. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you would please remain standing. Now is the most holy opportunity in our service. This is the time when saints are praying, and we extend an invitation, not just for you to come and to be in fellowship with this place called Redeemer, but if you've not yet given your life to the Savior, the one who was born, the one who walked and healed, the Jesus who died, was crucified, the Jesus who rose again with all power, the one who was coming back again. If you've not entered into relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you now to come. Is there one today?